Welcome to the Ultimate College Planning Podcast, episode number 2. We're really excited to have Casey Wilson as our first guest on the show. Casey is a student life coach, certified positive discipline trainer, as well as a wife and mother. We're looking forward to getting her expertise on how students can become more successful in school and in the college planning process, and how parents play an important role. The reason why we wanted to have Casey as our first guest on the show is because developing the right mindset is at the foundation for success in anything you do, especially during the early years. So it's great to tap into Casey's expertise and wisdom in this area. Welcome, Casey. Can you share with us more about your background and what you do?
Sure. I have my own small business, and it's called Joyful Courage. I have been doing parent education since 2007. I teach a program called Positive Discipline, and really the work that I do is steeped in relationship and skill building. So I try to mentor and coach parents around the idea that building a really authentic relationship with their child is what will ultimately lead them toward success as they grow into adulthood. So we focus a lot on looking for solutions and taking time to train our kids. One of the pillars that we talk about is that mistakes are opportunities to learn, which guides us into that whole idea around growth mindset as opposed to a fixed mindset. We spend a lot of time talking about encouragement and how encouragement is really different than praise. And when we can focus on encouragement, we're actually breeding more empowerment intrinsically with our kids. And the idea that it's messy. Parenting is messy. You don't quite realize how messy it's going to be until you find yourself as a parent. Mm-hmm. But that mess is where all of the life skills that we want our kids to eventually embody, where those skills are taught and practiced. So we talk a lot about shifting that parenting lens towards looking for beliefs that are going on underneath our kids' behavior. And really, if we focus on the beliefs and try to shift our kids' beliefs, then the behavior changes by itself. Also using influence in our relationship with our kids instead of getting into power struggles and the whole top-down approach, you know, my way or the highway. So a lot of parents go through my programs and realize, wow, I have a lot of work to do on myself. And a lot of parent behavior actually invites some of the behavior that we see with our kids that is not always what we want. So looking inward and doing our own work is also a big part of our focus when I work with parents.
That's great, Casey. Can you share with us positive techniques and growth strategies students and parents can use to help them become more successful in school?
So again, it goes back to relationship and being aware of what you're inviting from your kids, right? So we want to create an environment in the home that is based on connection and firmness at the same time. So one example that often happens is that permissive style where kind of anything goes. There's not a lot of focus on boundaries, and you know that invites rebellion. It invites all sorts of things that we don't want for our kids, right? They're not learning a lot of skills in that environment. And the flip side of that environment is that really strict authoritarian environment, which also it might look like, hey, our kids really know how to, you know, keep their room clean and get straight A's. And in the meantime, they're also being submissive based on fear, or they can turn and become quite rebellious and get into power struggles. So what we try to help parents to do is to create an environment that is both connected and firm at the same time. So, and that involves, you know, taking time to train our kids. The skills that we want for them to have and as adults are not things that just show up. You know, they have to be taught, they have to be practiced, and they have to be modeled. So that's a big burden for parents, because if you expect your kids to be good listeners, if you expect your kids to persevere through things that are challenging, you've got to be modeling what that looks like, yep. Right? And you have to, yeah. And I think a lot of times we get into mischief because as parents, because we expect all these things from our kids, but they're not necessarily seeing us struggling through these skills. And so And then going back to that growth mindset, you know, when parents are kind of seen as people that don't make any mistakes and do everything perfectly, you know, it's not showing kids that, you know, it's modeling this model that this idea that everything is perfect. You don't have to struggle. It just is what it is. And that really is modeling a fixed mindset, because then they think, well, I can't be as perfect as you, so I just won't try, right? Rather than seeing that struggle. So, and then also using a lot of encouragement. And encouragement, you know, is really just about seeing our kids and noticing where they're at and embracing them for who they are today, rather than projecting into the future into who you hope they become, you know, because they're already showing us who they are today. And when they feel accepted and like they have meaning today, then that's just opening the doorway for them to continue to succeed through school.
Makes sense, Casey. So it's a joint effort between the child and the parent.
Definitely. Yeah. And I think it has a lot to do with the environment that we create in our homes, right? Because when we can create an environment where there's lots of problem solving, when we're working together to look for solutions based, you know, whether the problem solving has to do around something academic or something social, you know, it's messy. Relationship is messy, and that's okay.
Definitely.
It's not something to avoid, right? It's something to embrace as an opportunity to learn those skills.
Definitely. So it's this balance between the child and the parent. So in terms of the college planning process, this joint effort, what are ways parents can be more involved in the college planning process? And what role should they play? Because we see the tiger parent, for example, being more aggressive and having high expectations. And then you have the parent who's not involved. Where is the balance, and how can the parent most successfully have this joint effort between the child and the parent, leading to both college and education success?
Yeah, there's definitely a range of ways that parents tend to get involved.
Yeah.
And I think that the most important thing is to be available, right? And to open the conversation with your kids and to be really willing to listen to what it is that your kids need from you. So when you engage in conversation with them about what they want through their college planning process, you know, choose to be curious instead of judgmental, because judgment will just shut the child down. Curiosity is going to open up all sorts of conversation that you might not have had had you chosen to be more critical or judgmental. And asking your kids, how do they want you to be involved? A lot of kids are really self-motivated and they've got it, right? And that doesn't mean you just step back, but you can still be available and say, well, how can I support you in this effort, right? Or
yeah,
the kids that aren't so, you know, so self-motivated, working together to create a plan around getting the pieces done, right? Because there's
definitely
a lot, right? And you know more about this than I do. My kids are 8 and 11. And so the college planning process isn't quite to the place that it will be in a few years. But I remember my own process and getting everything in on time, collecting all the paperwork. You know, those are a lot of steps. And so working together with your kids to create a timeline, to create a plan around getting those pieces done together can be really powerful. Letting them know, hey, I'm here to support you, and there's plenty of things for you to do, you know, because it's important to remember that they're getting ready to enter an environment with a level of autonomy that they have never had before. Right?
Definitely. Yeah, definitely.
And so being spoon-fed all of this, you know, this is a great opportunity, this process, to hand some of that autonomy over to them in a more controlled space while they're still at home with you. It's just an opportunity for them to practice the skills that they need to be self-reliant and self-sufficient as they leave home, right?
Definitely. You know, I work with a range of students. Some students are very motivated and self-disciplined, and the parents do not really need to intervene. And then I work with another range of students, and it's tough to get them to do what they should be doing in terms of taking the necessary steps to succeed in school and in life. So with these types of students, where there's a disconnect with what the parents expect from the child and what the child wants, how do you strike that balance, and what advice can you give in this area?
Well, you know, I think it just it's kind of goes back to that idea that adolescence, so there's this whole push-pull going on in adolescence, right?
I see it. Yes.
And it's a wild ride. I am entering into it. And our instincts as parents is to hold on, right? And we've already lived through that part of our life. So we feel like we understand and we can see the clear path. And if they just do what we say, you know, and jump through all the hoops, they're going to be fine. In the process, we are raising really entitled kids.
Yeah.
Right. Who don't know how to call the doctor and make an appointment, who don't know how to get a hold of their college professor and say, hey, I need to advocate for myself because I believe that I deserved a different grade for this. Right. We aren't giving them a lot of opportunity to practice that before they go into the world off to college. And so recognizing that there are loads of opportunities to give the gentle nudges to our kids for them to practice that while they're still at home with us, whether it's calling and making their own doctor's appointments, whether it's, you know, letting them go into the doctor without being there hovering around them. But, you know, I mean, it's just, those are just little things, but there's so many opportunities for our kids to learn what it feels like to advocate for themselves. And just because it feels uncomfortable the first time, and they might kind of not be that excited about our new found desire for them to have these experiences, we can still gently nudge them in that direction. And then they get to college and it doesn't feel like they need mom or dad to come and rescue them.
Makes sense, Casey. Now, many students have these limiting beliefs. They lack courage and confidence, for example. What strategies have you found are the best ways to overcome these limiting beliefs?
Well, you know, there's a woman named Carol Dweck, and she wrote a book called Mindset. Her work is all around growth mindset versus fixed mindset. And kids that are raised with a fixed mindset feel like, okay, I was born with the skills that I was born with. I'm good at some things. I'm bad at some things. So I'll just focus on the good. And anything that's tough to do, I won't do. Mm-hmm. So a great way to kind of move them in the direction more towards a growth mindset is giving our kids opportunities to talk to adults that they admire about how they got to where they are, or having our kids have a relationship with adults that they admire and having those adults be sure to share stories about failure and what they learn and how it helped them move forward, right? Because mistakes are opportunities to learn big time. And also as parents, sharing our own failures, sharing times when we fell on our face and we were okay, we lived through it, right? And kids are so creative. Adolescence is a time where our creative sparks are going wild. And unfortunately, we adults kind of set them up like, well, you have to do things this way, or this is the way that I do it, so you need to follow these steps, rather than saying, hey, here's the ultimate destination. I bet you could get really creative about how to get there, and kind of embracing that creativity that our kids, that our adolescents have. And also as the adult, modeling not knowing and being out of our comfort zone, because that's a really scary thing to a lot of us. You know, that's one of the enemies of learning that that a lot of us share, is the idea of not knowing. I'd rather just do the things that I know rather than having to show up and say, gosh, I don't know the answer to that. So modeling that, modeling being out of our own comfort zone for our kids can be really powerful. And an example of that, so I have an 11-year-old daughter, and we've had a couple experiences with rock climbing. I have a really good friend who's a rock climber, and she's going to kind of take us under our wing, and we're going to do regular stints with her at the rock climbing gym. Now, this doesn't have to do with academics, but it certainly has to do with facing some fears, about feeling empowered, about feeling strong as a woman. And it's an experience that I'm going to share with my daughter. So she's going to get to see me puzzle through this kind of, I'm a little scared, I'm not going to lie, I'm a little nervous about it, you know, but what a great gift that I'm allowing her to see that it's not just kids that have these new experiences, but adults as well. And we are lifelong learners.
Yeah, definitely. Now, in terms of every student and every child finding their path in life and finding what their passions are at different stages, what is the best way for students to find their identity and come into their own early on so they avoid this delayed onset of maturing and self-awareness?
Well, you know, I think some of that is probably biological, and I can't really speak to that piece, but I do know that the environment that we create in our home is really key and essential to how our children see themselves, right? So again, that idea of celebrating who they are today in this moment is really, really important. Loving them unconditionally, but also providing lots of opportunities to stretch and grow and try new things. And again, parents too, just like I was talking about the rock climbing, it's really important as parents to continue to look for ways that we can stretch and grow and learn new things and talk about what that's like with our kids, right?
Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah. And also, again, back to the autonomy, handing that autonomy over whenever possible, even when it's uncomfortable. We are not doing them any favors by coddling them, right? And yeah. That doesn't mean that we don't love them and, you know, that we're not there for them when they're hurt or sad or afraid. I mean, of course, that support needs to be there. And we can also, it's okay for them to live through those emotions. I think that a lot of times parents want to rescue their kids from those big negative emotions, but they need to know that they're going to live through it, right?
Yeah.
And an exposure to different kinds of people and different kinds of experiences. And then again, back to that encouragement piece, just always being there to encourage. And encouragement might sound, you know, it could sound like, you know, I have faith that you're going to be able to solve this problem. And let me know if you need any ideas, which is, it's tough because we want to solve every problem for them because we think we know all the right answers, but really they're the ones that know the right answers for them.
Makes sense, Casey. Now, with some of the parents I've seen, you have these helicopter parents where they're really involved in the child's life and this can impede their growth. And then you have the other side where parents are not even there. What life skills have you found are the most crucial for healthy and successful development and growth?
Right. So, well, for the first thing I want to say is adolescence is this period of time where there is a major rebuilding of the brain, like big time. Mm-hmm. And the way that the brain grows during adolescence is determined by what the child is engaged in. So if you can create an environment that is rich in conversation around problem-solving skills, where your kids are practicing negotiation, where they're practicing focusing on solutions, which is growth mindset, where they're practicing taking somebody else's perspective and communication skills. When you can create that kind of environment, that's what's being built. When you can create an environment around compassion, going back to perspective taking, recognizing that we all have our own story and our own place that we're coming from and not to take things personally. I think that's a really, really important skill. Also perseverance. Life is hard. College is hard.
Yeah.
But the greatest success will come to kids who know that the emotions they're feeling will pass and that they can figure out a way to get through the tough times. And that doesn't mean that you just walk away and say, hey, good luck with that, right?
Yeah.
But it does mean saying, you know, wow, this is a really tough problem. And I bet you can come up with a really creative solution. And I'm here for you if you need some help, right?
Makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's, you know, I think that, and different kids have different needs. Some kids, you know, the helicopter style, well, no, I'm not going to say that. The helicopter style is really not that helpful.
Yeah, I found it's not very helpful either.
But kids need a variety of support from their parents. And there's going to be some kids that are super go-getters, you know, and let them be that way. And there's going to be other kids with temperaments that are a little bit more conservative and timid. But that doesn't mean that we do everything for them. It means that we find the perfect amount of nudge, the perfect amount of push that helps them step out of their comfort zone and realize that it's not that scary to be out there.
Makes sense. Right? Yeah, it's about being courageous. And, you know, your approach is joyful courage, which I think is a great title. Can you just share with us, like, how does fear impede a student's success in school? And what steps can they take to overcome any fears they may have?
Well, you know, to me, courage is movement that we take in the direction of being our best self. That's what courage is. And it means that even though everything in my body is telling me to react one way, that's not the pattern that I want to follow. So today I'm going to do something different. And that's, to me, courageous. And I think that for kids, fear comes from the idea that they have to be perfect all the time. That they're, especially these really competitive, highly motivated, you know, wanting to head to the best schools in the country, you mm-hmm. know, the fear of making mistakes, they have a kind of a skewed idea about making a mistake. Making a mistake means that they are a mistake, mm-hmm. right? And that yeah. and that's really a heavy thought, right?
Yeah,
so
definitely.
I think that fear also comes with that fixed mindset. Right. When you feel like, hey, or that intrinsic or the extrinsic idea, if you've been everybody's around you has told you how great you are for the last 17 years and how smart you are and how you do it better than everybody else, you know, that all that heavy praise. So they get out into the world, into college. And when nobody's telling them that, they don't have a sense of where they fall. Right. So if mm-hmm. we can use encouragement and really start to develop an intrinsic place, a place inside of them where they know that they're okay. They worked hard on that project. They know that they gave it their all. And regardless of the grade, they know that they've done the best that they can do because it comes from a place on the inside. So, and that's where encouragement shows up because encouragement is,
that's great.
Is noticing, yeah, is noticing our kids and using language that kind of offers them an inside look at themselves. But again, that idea of modeling in our homes that mistakes are opportunities to learn. They take us farther than we can go if we don't make mistakes. And again, relationship is first with our kids. So it's kind of painful, but sometimes fear shows up in students when the parents are putting so much pressure on them that they don't want to let them down. And so there's this big fear that if they don't perform the way the adults in their life want them to perform, you know, that it'll be the end of the world. So asking yourself as a parent, whose dream is this kid living? Is this their dream?
Yeah.
And if it is, support them and love them. And if you start to notice, wow, this might be my dream, well, then you might have a little bit of work to do. Right?
Yeah. Well, that's great insights and on, you know, this topic of fear. Going along with this theme of, you know, negative patterns and habits, what self-destructive patterns and habits are most common with students that you're seeing? And what's the best way to eliminate any self-destructive patterns or habits that a student might have?
Well, I also work with teachers. And something that shows up is anytime a child falls into the extreme, it's fertile ground for these kinds of destructive patterns and habits. So one extreme would be the perfectionist, right? Like we just talked about, do
that
it perfect.
Like yep.
Yeah. Do it perfect or don't do it at all. Right. And this kinds of that idea leads to, you know, sleep issues, self-esteem issues, obsessive compulsive issues, and none of that is healthy. Right. Or another extreme is that entitlement extreme, which we were talking mm-hmm. about earlier. Hey, someone's going to do this for me. So they show up to college and they're not really ready to be self-sufficient. They're not ready to use their own strength to get them to class on time, to, you know, spread out the assignments so they're not doing all-nighters writing papers because it's due the next day, right? Mm-hmm. So entitlement is another extreme that can lead to kind of some self-destructive patterns. And again, I know I've said this a bunch of times, but using the time while they're still at home as time to learn and train for being on their own is really powerful. And that requires parents finding the middle ground between letting go and holding on, and having awareness of the areas that your child could use some growth, right? So, mm-hmm. and again, that requires a really solid relationship with your person that's living at home with you.
Thanks, Casey. This is great information. We have one last question for you. Can you summarize the key strategies for raising a healthy and successful child, leading to success in his or her educational journey?
Sure. So number one is maintaining that authentic relationship. Even as your child pulls away during adolescence, you know, just doing what you can to maintain that relationship. Creating a home environment that's kind and connected and also firm. So allowing contribution from kids in setting boundaries, right? Giving mm-hmm. them a voice in the conversation around boundaries. Looking for solutions to problems together. right? Also, that another big key is that, again, mistakes are opportunities to learn, and kids will learn this by parental example. So a growth mindset is a must here, right? We always can learn from our mistakes. And finally, that give them encouragement to pursue their dreams. Give them space to do it. Give them support. And just trust that process.
Makes sense, yeah. Casey, I just one last question. You know, I see a lot of parents trying to live out their dreams through their children. So they didn't, their dreams didn't come true. So they're trying to really push those dreams on their children. And they're trying to, you know, they're telling their children to do one thing, but the parents are doing something else. So, you know, an obvious example is, you know, don't smoke and the parents smoke, or don't yell and the parents yell. So they're trying to teach one thing, but they're doing something else. Do you see that a lot from parents? And what are your what are some tips that you could have?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I engage in that behavior all the time. I mean, I'm aware. I feel like, you know, I have a lot of a deep understanding of the program that I teach, obviously, positive discipline, and it's fantastic. And that doesn't always translate into, in the heat of a moment, being overwhelmed by the behavior of my kids, that I'm always choosing to be the parent, you know, that I want to be. Mm-hmm. Because we're so emotional, it's crazy. But, you know, I think that I see it all the time and I live it, and it's tricky, and it really requires parents, again, to do their own work, you know. And if I wish I had the perfect answer to that question. I mean, all I can really say is, you know, recognize that your kids are living their own life. And yes, you are the parent, and yes, you have been there, done that, but they are not living your same experience. Mm-hmm. My daughter played the piano for a little while, was really pretty good at it, and it didn't require a lot of practicing, but I got really uptight about her practice schedule, and she quit. It was too much. I was too annoying, and I freaked out, and I recognized that a lot of that comes from, I took piano for 2 years and never got really very good, and I wish I would have. And so now I really want my daughter, my kids, to play music and get really, really good at it. And so it shows up. It's sneaky the way that it shows up in your parenting as far as the things that you didn't accomplish or the things that you wish you did.
Yeah.
But, you know, but really, if we can just maintain this really good relationship and keep conversation flowing and create agreements and problem solve together, then that's really going to be the most beneficial. And one of the tools that I talk a lot about, I actually have an e-course on this, is using family meetings, weekly family meetings, to solve problems and teach skills. And it's kind of the glue that holds all of the systems that we put into place in our home together. Family meetings can be really, really, really powerful.
Great. Can you tell us just briefly about that e-course and where they could learn more about it?
Sure. It is on my online offerings page on my website, joyfulcourage.com. It is a 6-week e-course. And it basically takes parents through the process of building buy-in from the family and getting to the point where training everybody on the steps that are required for a family meeting to really be a place that's helpful, not hurtful, where we look for solutions and not blame. Because, you know, kids, they're going to think, hey, oh, great, another place for you to tell me all the things I'm doing wrong. But that's not really about what family meetings strive for. And so family meetings are about problem solving. It's about planning time together. It's about appreciating and complimenting everybody in the family. And so I created this e-course because it's the one piece that I notice participants, when I'd run into them, would say, oh, yeah, I haven't done that, you know, and then they proceed to tell me all the ways that things aren't working out in the home. So it's a really powerful piece of the puzzle. And so that's...
What's the course called?
It is called the Family Meeting Jumpstart e-course.
Family Meeting Jumpstart e-course. Sounds like a great course. You know, Casey, thank you so much for your time today and your insights and expertise. We really appreciate it. A lot of great information here that both students and parents can benefit from. So we really appreciate having you on the show.
Jeff, thank you so much. And I meant to say that at the beginning. Thank you. I'm stoked to be here. I just so admire the work of parents. I'm living that journey as well. And it's messy and tricky. And, you know, to all the parents out there, just know to just love yourself and do your work. And you are appreciated for it.
Casey, thank you for all your insights and expertise today. We really appreciate it. It gave us a lot of great information that students and parents can really benefit from. We hope you enjoyed today's episode of the Ultimate College Planning Podcast. To learn more about Casey Wilson, go to joyfulcourage.com, where you can find a lot of great resources, including her Family Meeting Jumpstart e-course. We look forward to connecting with you in the next episode of the Ultimate College Planning Podcast. In the meantime, you can find us at thehagetwins.com.